All right, we're live. TIB, WM Phoenix Open Week. Got my good friend Adam here, founder of Vincerix, known as DG Betting on Twitter. Adam, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Always a pleasure to be on Tap and Birdie. That I feel like it launched my, or you launched my like social media career with some like retweets way back in the day. So always appreciative of that, and always a joy to
be on TIB. I was actually looking through the old DMs. I was like, dude, you need to come on for the Hero. Like Hero World Challenge, fall swing, like fake event. Like we need you on.
I remember like before that, I was like, oh, I got to like look up all this. Like I was prepared for that. And then I've realized the less prepared actually you are for the pod sometimes leads to a better pod. So I'm medium prepared for
No, I think that's good. I mean, it's hard to really prepare for a pod unless it's like something very specific or it's like a major preview or like futures or something, but just, you know, a regular tournament is kind of tough to go full court press on. But you and our good mutual friend, Matt Gannon, Jersey, have been doing a little Monday preview pod. It's been great. I really enjoy it. You two are obviously some of my good friends, and we talk golf all day. But there's only so many golf podcasts I can get around to listen to, but it's in the rotation, like absolutely 100%. So I've been enjoying you and Matt talking on Monday.
Yeah, appreciate that. I mean, yeah, our group chat, the three of us plus Devo, who's going to have boots on the ground this week. I was hoping that Devo would have his card out before the pod so I could try to tail some of it, exactly. Ride the wave of that. Unfortunately, he's playing coy, keeps it on the down low. But yeah, appreciate that. We just started it last week. So far, so good. No winners for us last week, but maybe this is the week some winners hit. But yeah, it's fun. Jer's obviously super knowledgeable, so it's more me asking Jer's questions and then kind of rolling with the flow. But Jer's is focused, dialed in. He's really hunting down a winner. So if you're if you follow Jer's on Twitter, I'd consider tailing him this week because I saw something in his eye on the pod this week where he's getting dialed in.
That's the thing about golf outright betting is that if you want it, if you just try really right. hard,
it's all about
it
effort, will
hit.
Yeah.
Like you at a certain point, you just deserve to hit a 50-1 bet. Like it is still crazy that we think it's normal to hit these long odds and like at a fairly consistent rate when it's truly an absolute lottery ticket. I know, you know, there were a lot of texts back and forth, but you know, you sent out a golf betting outright. It is really dumb. Like it's just stupid. Not that long ago. It really is. And especially this year has absolutely shown that.
Well, and I've seen it too, because like I've always been into college basketball betting, but I've gotten more into it this year. And like we made like a betting site for basketball. So I was like, okay, I'm really going to take college basketball betting like seriously this year. And you win and you lose in college basketball, of course. But like, I feel like most games play out the way that I expect them to play out. Like you may win the bet, you may lose the bet, but it like goes how you expect it to go. Versus golf, you can do all the research. You can feel like you know everything that's going to happen. And then halfway through Thursday, you're like, I couldn't be more wrong about what took place here. So it is dumb, but it's also, we love it. And I said I might be done with golf betting if Neiman didn't close the door on LIV last week, which was very much up in the air since he did win. I'm back in the saddle and full
speed. Like you're back. Like it's the best thing ever. LIV also is the best thing ever. You love the PIF, the Saudi investment fund. Like you're fully into sport washing. Like that's how you feel after the Neiman winner.
Yeah. I had to look myself in the mirror and say, you know, I've accepted who I am now. You know, I'll take the money from wherever it comes from. And so, yeah, the LIV money paid out the same. The Neiman outright paid out the same as it does on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. So at this point, I think I am unfortunately slightly involved in the sports washing.
I mean, to a certain extent. But in all honesty, and, you know, I'm a big, you know, supporter of the PGA Tour, a PGA dick rider, as some might call me. Like the PGA Tour has taken a hit this year, and I know only like two guys left, but these fields and these elevated events, just they're not the same as they used to be at all. And I think this week really shows it. And I guess this is kind of just what the PGA Tour is, right now. But if you don't have three or four big name guys showing up, it just doesn't feel the same. And the mid-range of the PGA Tour is just kind of like fucking, it's just not the same as it used to be. And the fact that Waste Management can't get that great of a field, it's just odd to me, like how this season has kind of played out, because none of the events I truly looked at the board and I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think Jerz and I talked about it too, where like the signature events just haven't been won by like signature players. And it's kind of started to, and it's built, I mean, it happened last year. It was like, I think we went into the signature events thinking like, oh, all the best players are going to be here, battle top of the board every week. Then we got guys like Kurt winning, and Windy won last year before he was, you know, the Windy that he is now at Wells Fargo. And then this year we get Chris Kirk winning. We get the semi 54 hole Pebble, which kind of like killed the vibe there, which I think like I was excited for that. I think people were excited for it. It was trending in the right direction, and then the weather kind of ruined that. Then this waste field falls like a terrible pot. Like the tour has to know when they set up the schedule that waste is going to get harmed by like the way this is set up. They probably hope that guys like Vic and Xander would play. But yeah, I think it's been a mediocre start to the PGA Tour year. Like it's been for us, like the diehards watching Pavone and stuff like that. Like we love that. But I think for the common fan, there hasn't quite been that event that draws people in, but we got Genesis coming up. We got the Florida Swing Players. Like that's when I think golf season really kicks off. But yeah, it hasn't been the best so far.
Yeah, and again, it's not the PGA Tour's fault that Pebble had a historic storm where there are like blackouts all over the country. Like that's, it's, you know, a question is whether or not it should be played that time, and I don't think it should be. But they did get hit with absolutely terrible weather. And Pebble Saturday was sick. Like it was awesome. Like I was like, I'm not doing anything this afternoon. I'm just going to get a 12 pack of Stella's and drink and watch golf. And it was awesome. Like I genuinely enjoy Pebble and seeing Windy do what he was doing. And, you know, I really liked the CBS broadcast, like the commentators, not like the commercials and everything, but Pebble is just sick. Like I really enjoy watching it on TV, and they did the right thing this year making it elevated, but they got to figure out the weather. And like many people have said, Pebble is one of the PGA Tour's best assets. I know last year we talked about it, like one of your most viewed previews was Pebble Beach. Like it brings more people in than Bay Hill or Wells Fargo or Memorial. Like it has a different kind of cachet, and they did the right thing, and if they had decent weather on Sunday, it would have been an unbelievable finish, in my opinion, but unfortunately, you can't control the weather.
Yeah, and I think the question, like everybody has, and we, you know, we're following the weather almost to the like week before we knew there was going to be crazy weather. Obviously, the PGA Tour is paying close attention to that. The fact that they kind of, I don't know, let this happen. Like, I totally agree that the weather is out of their control, but how they went into the week and how they could possibly set up the play so that maybe they get it in on Saturday, or maybe they just kind of play nonstop starting on Thursday. You know, it would have been complicated, but if they really were like desperate to get 72 holes, then I think they could have found a way. But yeah, so we've texted about this. What is your stance on the Windy? When like, I'm not saying it, like it counts 100%. Like it counts even more because like Windy is a winner. So I'm not, if he was like a non-winner and this was his first win, I might hold it against him a little bit more. But Jerz and I were talking about like the guy who shoots 60, who shoots 61, 62, like I think JT at Amex is an example of it. That guy who goes low in the third round, like it's tough to come back and win in the final round. So I don't think he wins, but what's your like take on it? And who do you think would
it? It's kind of tough because I'm biased in a sense of, I didn't think Wyndham Clark was going to win this year. Like, I definitely thought he was going to have a down year, and I thought he had a really unbelievable three-month stretch, and that would be it. So it's kind of tough because I didn't see that round in him. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just such an unforeseen thing to happen to shoot 60 at Pebble and have that type of weather happen on Sunday that it's just, there's not going to be any event like that or any winner you can compare it to. we all know it's very tough to back up, you know, a low round like that. I think it would have been an epic final round between him and Ludwig, just absolutely nuking the
ball. Pavone. Like, I genuinely think Pavone is squarely in the mix down to the last hole. He's just a generational ball striker. I think Pavone's in the mix.
It would have been awesome on Sunday. And it sucks that we were robbed of that. But I can't talk shit about Windy's win just because I was dead wrong about him. So it would kind of be disingenuous, but I don't know if he wins on Sunday. Like, I think it would have been very, very tough.
And I think I genuinely think though that I don't think he would have won, but also the reason I have no problem giving him the win is just because it's Windy C and he does sick club twirls and he does something like he's just a baller. So
he's a cool guy.
So I'll give him the win. Congrats to everybody who's on. I was going to say, as you know, I had him on the card and decided at the last second that I would just go to the top of the board and bet Xander instead. So that I hold against him a little bit, but
I would be mad as well. But I kind of have a weird relationship with Wyndham in that I really liked him 2 summers ago and thought
you invented him.
Like I invented him. Like I just thought he was like, you know, this is like a talented guy, like a fun guy. We all have our guys. We like to bet at 100-1. Like we all have those guys. And he was my guy for the summer and then bet him a few times, like bet him at Valspar. He played well. And I was kind of like, yeah, like whatever. Like it's not really that, you know, big of a deal. Like, okay, he's playing a little bit better. And to not be on either of those wins, not that I was close or anything, and then to like go full turn and be like, no, he actually sucks now that he won a U.S. Open, and then he wins Pebble at like 90. It's just like kind of a weird relationship. But in true all honesty, I think he is top 3 PGA Tour player I would love to like get beers and like post up with. Like he's a bro. He's a chill guy. Him on some subpar. I listened to it on Tuesday. I'm like, I love this guy. Like he is the man. Like he's bro's bro, like knows how to talk, obviously sick at golf, but he's just someone I'd like to like chill and like do some beers with. So it's upsetting to me that I haven't cashed in on any of his wins.
Well, what I was going to say was it's funny that you're like a lot of people, you get your guys in the hundreds, 150, like that's your guy. You're betting him every week. And then they start popping off and then they're in the 40s or the 30s. You're like, I can't bet him down there. You've missed him still basically at the 100 prices that he was.
Yeah. The only regret is we should have been on him at the US Open.
That's what I was going to say.
I wouldn't have been on him at Wells. I wouldn't have been on last week. US Open. I bet we bet Adam Scott and Justin Rosen.
I mean, I literally texted you infamously Windy by like a dozen shots this week on like Tuesday and then didn't bet him. And because of that, I don't think you guys bet him. So yeah, that's hand up. That one's on me. That I was right there. I should have done.
You have definitely.
I saw it with my own eyes. Like I should have been on it.
But I will, you know, if you, you know, reached out, you know, Wednesday and was like, yeah, I think I'm going to bet Xander. I would have told you not to, and I would have sent your text saying Xander's a fucking fraud, loser, cheater, and I'm never fucking betting him again. And I would have said that to you, but you didn't consult the group. That's why I kind of
very fair. And I knew that like there was nothing you could have said that I didn't already know myself. I think that was part of it. It's like I could say I'm betting Xander, you guys would have been like, you're an idiot, and I would have been like, I'm an idiot. But yeah, dumb move. And that's after I have retired from betting sub 20-1 on the PGA Tour.
Anytime you bet, and I've had it too, where anytime you dive out of your normal strategy and bet below 20-1, someone wins that you would have bet. It's terrible.
Yeah. So I think where I'm at is live under 20-1. You almost have to bet it because like it's going to be one of the top guys. Like hammer. DP World Tour, some weeks top of the board. Like I'm not completely against going under 21, but officially.
Or Dylan Fratelli at 150. Like, do you understand how bad you have to be at golf to be 150 on DP right now?
Fratelli winning on DP, it also frustrating because I had Xander Lombard who finished second. But one of the in a year of surprising results, it may be the most surprising because he was shooting like 80s. Like he literally was broken at golf. But yeah, so
not anyone can just win the John Deere Classic.
No, we
don't. Mike Kim,
Twitter extraordinaire. Mike Kim.
So I'm down to talk a little Liv. I had a Liv card out. I was like, because Matt Miller, shout out him. I know he's big on Liv. I read his preview. I was like, Neiman makes a ton of sense. And I was about to bet him, and I was like, I'm not betting this much money on one golfer at Liv Coba. Because when I think of Liv last year, I just felt like the most random ass dudes won. Like Charles Howell III knocking a few off. Like they just had a lot of random winners that are losers. Like Danny Lee, fucking like, you know, and I tried to actually handicap those events and like some random dude wins. So it was tough for me to, you know, bet 100, 200 bucks on Joaquin Neiman at 14-1. Luckily you were on it. I shout out, you know, Liv Golf makes me hard. Shout out all the Liv Golf runners. I watched Liv on Sunday, thoroughly enjoyed it. No commercials, big guys battling down the stretch, no music, like catty conversations. I enjoyed it. Like I was a fan. If unbiased, I know you had Neiman, so it was big for you, but unbiased thoughts on Liv Coba.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, I've always been, I support the PGA Tour over Liv for sure, but I've always been more in the middle, I think, than like the general discourse. I've always been okay with Liv and like it is what it is. But from the perspective of sweating an outright,
yeah,
I can't think of a better like viewing experience. Like, even from Friday, when like Neiman got off, he was like 5 under through like 6. And I was like, oh, let me like flip this on and see what's happening. And so then I kind of watched the rest of the week from then on there. It's all you could ask for. Like, you know, you're going to see every shot. You get the caddy conversation. Like, you get some little tidbits like that. I like Faraday. Like, it's nice to have Faraday on the call. And then like, you know that you're not sitting there stressed. Like, do I check the shot tracker to see like what's happening? You just know, like, I'm gonna sit back, relax. Like, I don't need to worry about being on Twitter and seeing like the guy already made birdie. Like, you just go about your day as you normally would, or watch a sporting event as you normally would if you'd bet it, like a basketball game, football game. So that is a game changer for me for them versus like I'm totally in on betting it now. Like, I was kind of half-assing it last year because I felt the same way. I was like, how could you predict this? It's random people. Like, this is stupid. But then you hit a win and you're like, oh, I've got this figured out. Like,
it's so
I'm winning every week. Like, but it's more the viewing greatest experience.
Call of all time. No, and I think the thing about Coba is that the only reason it was easy to handicap is because it was a PGA Tour event. Like, that made it so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas they're going to Las Vegas Country Club this week and no one knows dick about the course. And it's like hosted like LPGA Tour events and like a PGA Tour event in like 2002. So that's where if Liv just went to like old PGA Tour destinations would be sick. Because there's some context to it. And you could be like, oh, Liv Coba. It's kind of like a short plotters like Russell Henley, Brendan Todd type place, not, you know, a bomber's paradise. So, but the no commercials is sick. And again, that is, you know, not a normal thing for any sort of program, you know, golf, sports or not. Like, you have to have commercials. But for whatever reason, they don't. They have unlimited Saudi money. But that aspect of it is great. And, you know, knowing you'll be able to see all the important shots is awesome. And I don't want to steal this take, but again, I'm being a dick rider. But Solly, no laying up. Liv on its own would be sick. Like, if it was just in the fall swing and there wasn't any PGA Tour golf on and there was just Liv, I would enjoy watching it. But when it's directly going up against PGA Tour events and a bunch of events are overseas and overnight and you can't even watch them, that's where it's just like, it was the perfect scenario on Sunday, but if that's all it's going to take for it to be a sick viewing experience that all these people watch, that's just tough because you're never going to have that scenario a lot.
Yeah. And I'll say one other thing that apparently I've been doing this later in last year, but it definitely wasn't like this when I was originally watching Liv. Like, they have the final couple groups now going off of one instead of doing the shotgun for that, which helps a lot with like down the stretch. Cause before it'd be like, oh wait, this guy's going to go play 1 and 2. Like, I don't even remember what those holes are like. So everybody ending on the last hole is good, but yeah, like it'll I think it'll do fine this week. Like the field being so bad at waste and like being in Vegas for the Super Bowl, like I think there'll be some like hype behind it. But yeah, as soon as they go overseas, start playing in Asia, start playing all over the place, it's going to lose some of that thunder. But for me, it's like, and I was talking to Jerz about this, where yeah, Pebble's this historic, like famous, you know, track, and winning at Pebble means something. But when you see big name players battling down the stretch, yeah, whether it's Liv Maiacoba or whatever, it's just like seeing Neiman win that against some like beat Rahm, kind of stay in there, hang in. Rahm kind of struggled down the stretch versus you've got, I guess we'll use Farmer as an example. You got like Pavone and I love Højgaard, but you got these guys that like, unless the top players in the PGA Tour start mixing in the signature events, it's just hard to like really care. And then you don't care about Liv either. And so I'm kind of in this spot of just like melancholy where it's like, do I care who wins any of these events until we get to the majors? And that's like when I'll care who wins.
Yeah, no. And another thing, and I fully admit that I add to it to a certain extent, is that I just feel like Liv versus PGA, it's just everyone trying to have a gotcha moment.
Yeah, like a take. Yeah.
It's all just Liv people be like, this is so unbelievable. It's all PGA Tour people being like, it's all just trying to got him. Like, everyone's just trying to say got him to each other.
Do you think the Liv, like, the Liv makes me hard and those people, which, by the way, your response, I don't know what it was about, but they said something to you, and you respond about being normal, and you responded like, yeah, I'm going to take advice on being normal.
He's in the chat. Yeah, we got like, him here. We got but, Liv makes me well, hard.
So maybe you could like, do those people. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know if you know this, but I was playing Beth Page, just like I always do, and I'm like sitting waiting for my tee time, and this dude has a fucking Range Goats towel like right in front of me. I'm like, okay, who is this guy? Like, am I being punked right now? And I start talking to him. We're like talking about golf. And then he's like, and we start talking to Twitter. He's like, yeah, like I have like a Liv account. So, and I was like, wait, which one is he? He's like, yeah, like Liv Golf makes me hard. I'm like, okay. So no one actually, like people aren't out in the wilderness actually supporting like Range Goat stuff. Like basically if you have a Range Goat's towel or like sweatshirt, like you have to be a Liv bot. There's no like
casual. Well, it's like what I was going to say was are these people being serious or are they trolling? Because like some of it is so like over the top I genuinely think it's they can't be serious.
No, and that's what a lot of the accounts are like actually funny about. Like that Liv Golf account saying, look at the hotel prices for Liv Vegas this week. Like they're out of control. Like that's hilarious. Like I enjoy that. Like that's funny. And a lot of the accounts like I do like I think I have some, you know, good standing with the Liv Golf community, even though I am.
Well, you famously made the list of what was it, like worst people in golf media?
Yeah, like you, it was like corrupt golf media. Like that's I'm on it.
Congratulations.
I don't even know like what I did or said or anything, but again, I watched Liv Koba. I'm putting together Liv cards. Want some more info definitely on the courses and everything. Like this week is stuff to handicap, but we'll get to that. We'll get to Liv Vegas because I'm hyped for it. But yeah, I you know, I have two screens in my den. I have no problem turning on Liv on Sunday for the America events. Like I'll be there.
And at the end of the day, like I realized once you have a guy in the mix for Liv, I was watching more Liv this because Xander shot like 90 in the first round. So I was toast at Pebble. So I was like, I'm just going to watch Liv this week. And then I was flipping back and forth to like watch Pebble. I think I'm at the point where I'm just going to like be watching where my bets are. So yeah, I don't know if that makes me
like DP sweat. Like you're setting at 4 o'clock.
I haven't even been getting up for DP. Like I haven't had my mojo with the DP dead. Lately. It might be completely dead. Hopefully Rasmus wins this
week. It's definitely close to, Dead, but we have Waste Management this week. Obviously, a very famous event, like we talked about before. The field leaves a little bit to be desired, to be completely honest, as we talked about. But what are your overall thoughts on this course? Strokes gained major, strokes gained Ryder Cup, strokes gained ball striking, strokes gained crowd, strokes gained not a loser.
Yeah, I was going to say basically all of those things. So like, I think you check the boxes. Like we've got mostly major champions. Ricky sneaks in there. He's the one
he won half a major. He won a players.
Yeah, he won half a major. He's mixed in plenty of majors. Like he's up there in majors. Got to go back to like Kevin Stadler to get some random. I couldn't tell you one thing about what Kevin Stadler is as a golfer, but he's the only like random guy who's won in the last decade. I definitely prefer distance here, given like you back to 2013, like all but two guys were top 30 on the weekend distance. So you don't have to be the number one bomber, but you got to have some distance here. Yeah. We have seen guys like Webb win, but he hit like every fairway. So if you are going to kind of fade the bomber narrative, then you need guys who are just drilling fairways. But yeah, ball strikers, the story kind of speaks for itself with the major champion success, like overlap. And then you add in the crowd. And I think like part of it's the course, but part of it's genuinely the crowd. Like you got to have some stones, in my opinion, to play good in this event. So, a little bit of strokes gained of vibes and narrative in play this week for sure.
Yeah, no, I heard you were talking about it on your pod with Jers. Like, I think it makes losers less likely to win a little bit here. Like, you know, like Ben On, if he's going to break through and get his first PGA Tour win, Sony Open with like 40 people in attendance, like in January, like that's the spot to pick it off. Like, it's hard to get your first PGA Tour win if you're not super established at this point. So I like that take. I like
the take. Yeah, I mean, like, and even Scotty, obviously this was his first win.
Yeah.
But he had that Ryder Cup display in the fall. He had mixed in. Like, people knew Scotty was going to do big things on the PGA Tour, which I guess we'll talk about Ben on probably in more detail. But, like, he's been on the PGA Tour for a while. Yep. Like, he could win. He could win a couple times. Like, he could have a fine career. But if you are looking for that guy, Akshay is an example. Like, I really like Akshay this week. Is he a future, like, major stud? Or is he just a medium player? Because if he's a future major stud, I'm fine playing him on debut, even though I prefer guys who have played here before. Or is he not? Like, but how would you know? That's like you got to think about that when you look at the like debut or guys without course history. Minwoo is another example. Like, is Minwoo a future? Like, is his name when you see Minwoo on the winner's list of Waste Management, you go, oh, that makes sense because he's won the Open, you know, and the other stuff. I think it's fun to kind of think about with the guys who don't have course history or are younger. Like, that's an approach I think you got to think about too. With some of the, like, coming.
No, it's definitely, I'm definitely betting some losers this week, so it's tough. But I'm down. I like that narrative. Scotty, 5-1. You know, the ball striking has been unbelievable, and he can actually putt here. So normally, most weeks, I don't think Scotty's going to win. I could see it this week. And, you know, hot take alert. I could see Scotty winning here just because he putts so well. And one of the only places he putts as well. And like you said, he's been hitting good putts. The data just hasn't been showing it.
Well, and yeah, as he's famously said, he is a good, I think he's actually given up on that narrative. He's kind of been in interviews saying that I'm a bad putter. So that's kind of nice to hear. Like, he accepted that it wasn't, the stats are real and they weren't make believe. But my hot take this week is I would be more surprised if Scotty wins than if JT wins. That's my hot take for the week. Like, I think JT, JT is my number one pick of most likely to win basically this week. If I was ranking the field,
love
it. I'm not betting him, but that's because he's below 20-1. I've retired, but that's my hot take.
Yeah, JT. I bet him last week. I was tracking him pretty hard. Played great. Ball striking is really good. I've done the JT at Waste. Like, everyone's done it, and one, it's really tough to bet a guy at 10-1. And, you know, it has to be, you know, a perfect situation, which I think it kind of is for JT. But I tweeted it earlier in this week. I just know he's going to hit the ball unbelievable and lose a stroke putting and finish T4. Like, that is my thought for him this week. And if I'm really going to nut up and bet all that money on one person, I got to trust you with the flat stick. And I just really don't. But massive, massive FOMO on JT. I would be upset if he won this week. Like, that would really make me sad after being on him last week, and him being like extremely popular at 10-1. That would make me upset.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Like, not that I'm a good top of the board better. I think the one time I went top of the board, to be fair, the one time I went top of the board last year was for Scotty at Memorial, and he put on the greatest ball striking performance in the history of golf and didn't win. So when I have gone there, it's worked out once, but I totally agree that like you can't have a guy where there's a question mark about like one of his strokes gained categories. Like, can he gain in this category? If you think the answer is not like 1000% yes across the board, then going to the top of the board, it doesn't make sense. And that's even probably more true when we just look at the PGA Tour this year, like who deserves to be 10-1, fifth, like they're just not converting at all. Yeah. But that's why I like when I say JT to me is more likely to win than Scotty's, because I actually trust, even though Scotty's done it here before, I trust JT to gain putting more than I do Scotty. Like JT's putted well here. JT's putted well in four of his last six starts. It's on the POA at Pebble. Like he didn't putt well. So that's why I was kind of off of him last week. But I think he could easily gain putting here. He gained 1.4 Amex. Like,
stop.
But for what I was going to say was the reason I'm also out is, and this isn't a good reason to be out, but this is just true. Like he was like 20-1 a couple weeks ago for like waste, because they've had the waste odds forever. I think he might have even been like 25-30-1 like a while ago. And it's just like, I'm too stubborn to bet a guy at 10-1 when he was 30-1 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I never even thought about betting waste futures. That was definitely a dumb thing, because I would have loved a Burns and JT ticket this week at great numbers. And you know, you easily could have just kind of looked at the schedule, looked at the commitments and made those. So that's upsetting to me. I started out, you know, Max and I have kind of a rocky relationship. You know, we're kind of boys. He's kind of owned me on Twitter. I saw him at an insurance event, but was too scared to say hi to him. I think he's going to win a major this year. Like I bet him like $700 on him to start the year. If something seems a little bit off with him right now, and he does have some decent results here, and he definitely is the type of player that could win here. But I'm just going to wait. I don't know when I'm going to bet him next, but again, I just don't want to go top of the board this week, to be honest. And I just think his game is a little shaky right now.
Yeah. And last week he didn't have his caddy. We didn't know that going in. Like, yeah. Max without his caddy, that's a no for me every single time. I didn't know that ahead of time, so I still bet him. If I would have known that, I would not have bet him. So I kind of give him a pass a little bit on last week, and I don't hold his stats against him too much because, like, Griner's worth strokes gained to me. Like, I think he matters that much. But, yeah, Max is in that mode right now because he's always on the stream. Like, you see Max all the time. He's always, like, fidgeting with his practice swing. Like, even when he's putting, he's, like, over there, like, doing full swings on the side of the green. Like, something's a little off with him. He's such a streaky player. Like, when he's hot, he's really hot. When it gets off, it kind of gets off. So I think it's off a little bit right now. And I probably was in on the Max wins a major take before the year, but I've been a little I'm not feeling it right now.
Yeah, I just saw it, like, Ryder Cup, extremely talented. He had put up some better results to start the year, and he just hasn't. Been there. I like Spieth. This kind of a sneaky play. I don't know how sneaky he is, but this is a place he's done well and contended at. And this is where he rejuvenated his career. I vividly remember that was epic. Watching, just not for me this week. I don't know if I really trust him to win again. And I don't really think he deserves an 18-1 price, but Jordan, you know, you were pretty good with knowing him last year. He definitely does pop after a bad start. Like, I don't trust Pebble too much. And I think from the numbers, he actually hit the ball pretty well.
Yeah, I think Jordan is, you look at him on a week-by-week basis, and you don't even really worry too much about what he did. Whether it was good or bad the week before, like, he's just very volatile player. I like him this week. Like you said, I think he drove it pretty well last week. Like, he's had success here. The thing I didn't love about him, and I could be wrong about this. No, he had that year that he just, like, popped off out of nowhere. He had a great putting performance here, and that's what, like, he was making putts from everywhere. I remember that. He's lost a ton of strokes in four of his other five starts. Like, last five starts here, he had that one good one and four bad ones. Like, he's so shaky on the greens. I know he putted well at Century, but, like, it was sketchy again at AT&T. I just don't trust him to make putts. And for that reason, I agree. Like, at 18, it's not for me. But he could easily just T8, kind of be in the mix. I said to Jersey, I expect there to be a moment where we kind of think Spieth is going to win, and then he, like, misses a 3-foot putt and, like, or three putts from, like, 8 feet. And
has he ever done that? Has he ever done that?
Every once in a while.
Did he miss any bad putts at RBC when you were on him?
No, but he did at Bay Hill. Like down at Bay Hill, he went down the stretch and just he played really good at RBC. Fitz just got white out hot, and there's nothing he could do. But yeah, Bay Hill was brutal.
Yeah, I bet Sam Burns 22-1. He's currently 23-1 on Bookmaker. He's 20-1 on a bunch of different books. I think those are good odds. This surface, like whatever this fucking bent Poa overseed is, just this is where he putts best. Gained 10 strokes putting here, gained 10 at the Valspar, gained 9 at the Valspar, 9 at the CJ Cup. I don't know if that's the same type, but he excels on these types of greens. And again, he's just kind of been in form, playing well at places you wouldn't necessarily expect him to really thrive at, like Pebble, like really impressed with that finish, gained on approach, gained putting. Obviously, you know, had a very good chance to win American Express, but in a strokes gained winner, strokes gained atmosphere, strokes gained Ryder Cup, I trust Sam. I think he kind of fits the mold of guys that have won here. The Brooks, Scotty, like more athletic sportsman type PGA Tour players. And I just kind of like him. I trust him more than a lot of these other people with the flat stick. So I'm in on your guy, Sammy B, this week.
So one question that came to mind as you said that, because Sammy B is my guy. I love Sammy B. I do consider him a winner, but his like big dick event major record is actually really, really bad for like the quality of player that he is. And you just mentioned him in the same breath as Scotty and Brooks. Like, is he
more like Ryder Cup, like just being an athlete, like liking the crowd, but no, he hasn't shown up in big events.
I agree with you. He's hot with the putter. Like, he's putted really well the last 2 weeks. I fully expect him to gain enough strokes putting to finish top 20, top 10. Like, I'd be surprised if he doesn't play pretty well. I like him best when the driver's been grooved in for a couple of weeks. Like, he's gaining nicely off the tee with accuracy. And I worry a little bit this week about, like, you got to be able to score on the par fives. You got to be able to put the ball in the fairway if you're going to score. And if you get the difference between hitting the fairway, that's a birdie opportunity on most holes, versus in the rough, like you're battling for bogey. I think he hits a few too many holes. He goes wayward to win. So that's why I'm out, but I expect him to play well. And he is trending towards, he's going to do something soon. Like, when he's playing this well, he ends up winning something. I don't know where it's going to be. Hopefully it's not like he wins again at Valspar, because that would really suck. He'd be like, wins at like 10-1 at Valspar. So hopefully we get a good number where
Fox is winning Valspar.
That's the problem. We got Fox Valspar. So.
So we're both on Windy in very different scenarios. You're gonna, okay. I bet Wyndham 60, like on the back nine of Pebble, just because the line was wrong. And I thought they were going to play tomorrow and he wasn't going to win. And it was just a good number. And he's played well here. Like even before, I think Jurors even said like Friday of last week, like Wyndham next week, driver short game, major champ. So I bet the 60, he can go back to back strictly because he didn't truly win last week. It was just 54 holes. Wyndham, after his last win, did shit for about 4 months. So I'm hoping he doesn't go that track. Would I bet Wyndham at 30 right now? No, I wouldn't. But I'm not going to cash it out when it's a good number and it's a good course fit and he's a winner. Why did you go to Wyndham this week at a lower number?
Yeah, so I got him at 33. I saw him at 60. But I think I was distracted by Liv, so I wasn't like paying close enough. I wasn't thinking about PGA Tours, but I saw the 60 and I was like, oh, that makes sense. I saw, like, if you have a 60, great bet, like, absolutely. Like, you texted I think yesterday, like, I got a 60 on Windy, I was like, bet it, like, or like, hold on to it, like, don't do anything with that, because I was like, I'm down at 33. I think he does everything you'd want somebody to do well here. Like, he's driving the ball brilliantly going into Pebble. Why people liked him was because his tee to green game was looking sensational. He was just missing a lot of putts, and that had been the problem with him throughout the winter, or like when he kind of fell off, it was because the putter went cold. Apparently he switched putters this week, like
working with Phil Kenyon.
Yeah, like, he's such
It is. It is. It shows how fucking dumb PGA Tour is, because like Keegan before Travelers lost like 8 strokes on approach at LACC, worked with his coach, gains a trillion, wins. Wyndham putting terribly, gets a new coach, works with something, gains a million wins. Like, it's so fucking hard to predict this shit.
Yeah, and that's why it would have been like, it would have been nice to know that he had, like, not that it would have changed my opinion, but like when you see a guy who's been putting terrible and then they go like before the tournament, oh, he's got a new putter. At least you think like this guy knows he's been putting terrible. Like he's trying something to improve versus like he's doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And he's a good putter. He's always been a good putter. And that's why I think it was a little, I wondered what was going on that he was losing so much putting. And I was like, is it because of live conversation? Like when he was putting badly, it was like, this doesn't, is he just not trying at golf anymore? Like this doesn't make sense because this guy is a good putter historically. I think it appears he's focused back in on his putting. The tee to green game is sick always. He's a winner. He matches the US Open like champion level guy who wins at this course. Great short game. So at 33, I was like, this is still a good number. Like he's as likely as anyone, in my opinion, besides like Scotty or JT, to win this tournament. So 33, yeah. I was like, sure.
Yeah, no, I went from thinking he wasn't going to win this year to betting him the next week after he won. So that's, you know, things can change quickly. In my head, Ben on 28-1 again, was on him at Sony. He should have won. Yeah. I've been through it a million times. That was his chance to win. In my opinion, that was his time to win. If he had one PGA Tour win, I would probably be on him this week. But I just think it's very hard to go from zero PGA Tour wins to should have won the tournament win like the next week. Funny enough, Kyle Stanley actually did that. I don't know if you knew this, but he choked Farmers hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit different with Benny. And again, like I said in the beginning, the guy's a loser. Like he's been on the PGA Tour for however long and he's never won. Fucking Matthew Pavone plays three events and wins. Like there are differences in these guys. And I just don't think he can win in this atmosphere. I think he could finish T12. Like, love him. He'll probably play well, but I'm just not feeling it with Benny Boy this week.
Yeah, and I agree with pretty much all of that. Like he had his moment. He was like, it was in his hands to win, and Sony's the level of event that like you would think he would. The crazy part is he won BMW PGA on the year, like DP, which is a big dick like DP event early in his career, and he has just won nothing since then. I think he wins pretty soon. Like,
okay,
the difference between his, like what I think the difference is, he's a good putter now. Like he's putting really, really well. And at some point, the way he ball strikes it, he just putts so well. He could win a tournament by three or four shots just because like he gets ahead and then he doesn't have to like win on the very last hole. But I don't think it's a big dick event. So I like Benny on. I'll be betting him, I think, soon enough.
Mexico.
But like I think he's, is he playing? Like, there's no way Ben on play. Like, he's in all the
events. Mexico is going to be like, this is genuine. I don't want to have a podcast because I genuinely feel bad asking anyone to come on for Mexico because it is going to be the worst PGA Tour event ever.
Finau will be like 4-1. Like, Finau's been striping. Like, Finau's been hitting the ball as good as anyone in the world. He's just been putting terrible, but he's going to get on the greens at Mexico and all of a sudden make everything and probably win by like 7. But this is what I was going to say. In this, like, speaking of future events and like this event, where is Zal? Why is Zal not playing this event? Like, he's not in the signature events. He didn't play last week. He's in Jenny. Okay, but
he's
like,
in Jenny.
Doesn't he need like good finishes and like points and things like that? And like, this is a ball striker course. Like, I just don't understand why Zal's not playing this week.
I agree. I don't know why. I guess it's probably back. He probably doesn't want to overdo it. He's probably in any. He's probably in Bay Hill. I would assume he just got some invite to Bay Hill. So I think he should be here. When can Zal win?
So before the year, I said I think he's going to win Houston. Like, it was just like a ball striker course. Like you hit it farther, you do good. Like,
Texas.
And but now I don't know if he's going to play because like I thought he was going to have to play all of the random events. But
he'll play Houston.
I think a lot of guys are going to play Houston too, because of where it falls on the schedule, like with where the Masters is, I think it's 2 weeks before, and it's a pretty good prep course for the things you'll be tested for at Augusta. So I think a lot of guys will play, but that's the spot where I'm hoping like 40-50-1 Zal, because he looks kind of back. Like, he's not all the way back, but he's not dead. And it's great for you because
I love the Houston call. Like, absolutely love it. I'm in 100%.
Okay, so if anybody out there can get us some, because I would hate to have this be a windy situation where he's like 60-1, then he plays well at APR or something, and his
no matter what, if he's playing, he's on the card.
So
I love it. I actually think it's a really good.
Yeah. So that was on the preseason pot. I said it's out there, so that's my spot for it.
I bet Poston 35. Is he a good enough ball striker to win here? I don't know.
I gave him a look. I love Posty. I know you love Posty. I think he's going to play. Like, he's a great golfer. He's playing great. Like, he's really good at golf. I think the number is fair-ish, but he does not qualify in my big dick event winning book. And for that reason, I'm out on Posty.
No, that's fair. I was out last week. He still really played well. He putts well on these greens. He's not that great of a ball striker. I don't love it, but I'm just betting it.
He'll play well.
Like last week, it's like, okay, I wasn't in, but I can see it this week. And he's my boy, and he's winning the Masters. So we need a little bit. You bet Fitz, you're maybe in on Thigala. Talk me through your thought process on Thigs, because you said you might cash him out.
So I'll start with Fitz and say this is purely big dick event. And I think Fitz is a big dick player. And like at 35-1, he just got the step. Like it has very little. And his stats like make sense. He drives it well. Like he gets hot with the putter. He's been putting like poorly the last couple weeks. He played good at a Pebble for the first round, but then he 3-jacked 18 and kind of like fell off after that. But
he did flash last week.
He's good. Like Fitz. And he's always been good in the Dubai in the desert at the like DP events. So I think he likes desert golf. Like he can get hot with the putter. He wins big event like at 35 against some of these other guys.
I don't hate it.
I'll take Fitz. So that was
basically, I don't hate it, to be honest.
I kind of looked at everybody and then said, just give me Fitz. Was kind of like how it went. And I never bet Fitz. So this is a kind of, I'm testing off this one. Yeah. But I think with Fitz, like when the number's right, you just kind of play him because like he can win almost any event. It's just a matter of if he shows up or if he doesn't. And I like the Hero comp here too. And he played pretty good at Hero not too long ago. So
I'm kind of in.
I think it's a good play. Jerry said he might be in. So if, like we could squad ride Fitz, it would never hit 0% chance that a squad ride on Fitz would have any chance.
No, I can be convinced on Fitz. Thiegs, I mean, this was his coming out party. You know, he's now a Fortnite champion. You know, he won, basically won TOC. Like, he's really upped his game since. I mean, he's been good this year. Last year, coming here after the second place,
too much
bad
pressure.
Spot.
Yeah.
Bad spot. This year, I don't know.
Yep. No, that's part of the reason why I like him. He's been putting great. He's putting unbelievable. He always puts on his short game stats here in both starts. Like even the problem was last year, his approach was really bad, but he actually gained off the tee, gained around the greens and gained a lot putting. Like he just fucks on and around these greens with his short game. And it's very volatile with the driver, but he's had some great driving rounds the last few weeks. Like he had the best driving round of the day at Torrey on one of the days. So it's like, he only needs to have one or two good driving rounds the whole tournament. Cause this is actually, I'll shout out golf.vincerix.com. Like you can see fairway birdie or better percentage historically at this event. He's number one in the field. Like when he's in the fairway here, birdies, cause he puts these greens so well that like he just needs one or two good days driving and he can win. It's just, can he? And is 35 the right, like, it's a tough number because like he goes back and forth between 70 and 80 and like 30 and 35. Yeah. 70, that's why it's a tough call for me, but I see the path to him popping. But Is he big? Is he a big dick winner? Because he chokes a lot. So I don't know. That's another piece. Like at 35, I need confidence that you're a big dick winner. That's why I like Windy. That's why I like Fitz. Teagues has not proven that he wins big events. He's proven that he kind of falls apart at the end in big moments.
Yeah, so
that's a concern for me, but I love Teagues.
Decky, he won here twice. He can't win again.
His putting is horrible right now.
Can't putt out. Just out on Decky. Tom Kim, it's a good number. It's a good number.
He's under so I have a spot right now in like the 30 to 60 range on the card. One final spot in TK's under consideration, but he has been.
Is he a big dick winner?
So. He could he's mixed in big events. He's second at the Open. Like he's won three times already. He's like 22. So he wins in the desert Shriners comp. Like,
fucks in the
desert. I'm cool with a Tom Kim bet. I think that's fine. I just worry. I want guys who have distance, and that's not Tom Kim's game.
Cam Young, I'm out. I don't think he can win. I don't think he can get his first win here. But he does fit Scotty prototype a little bit.
But does he? Like, he's had his chances. Like, he's got to win. It's like, I'm out too. And I was thinking about that because I was like, okay, he's mixed in majors. Like, he's a big game player. But he just mixes. He never wins at all. Like, he couldn't even win on the DP. Like, he had the DP in his lap, and he was driving it so good, and his approach was so good that, like, all he had to do was not completely fuck it up, and he was probably going to win DP, and he lost it. So I think I'm out. But I do think strokes gained desert, he DP played well. Saudi in the desert, he played well. So I think he's going to play well.
I like Cam this week. I think he'll mix.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'll have one really low round. Like, just play Cam Young in Showdown every week. You'll make money. Hadwin, T4, T5, T6.
So Hadwin's kind of my guy. I had him at Rocket where he, like, almost won. And then I had him at Amex a couple weeks ago. He played really strong. Like, I feel like I figured out Hadwin because I bet him a lot in the past and I would never get him right. But over the last year, I think I've started to dial Hadwin in. He's going to play well. Another just desert MVP. Like, Shriners, he was up there earlier against Tom Kim. So I like it. I also think he's a loser, though. Like, he's been on the PGA Tour forever, and he's only got one win, so it doesn't fit my big dick winning criteria this week, but should play well. Probably going to be super popular, though, in, like, DFS, so I think you'd probably have to... I'd probably be out, because I think he's more of, like, a top 20, top 30 likelihood. Like, I don't see him finishing...
I think he'll play well, but I'm out. I'm out on him in general. If he's seeing off in the morning, I like him first round leader. Haas.
Quickly on the morning first round leader, we've got a potential wave split or a potential wave advantage situation here. I know you looked at it's the Scottsdale Airport wind finder. Yeah. It's right across the street from the course. We couldn't ask for a better wind finder location. What's your take on the weather?
So a few guys I like Hubbard first round leader, mortgage. But he's in the afternoon. I do think that there is a decent size advantage if you're going out super early.
Yeah, super early.
On Thursday.
Before like 8:30. Like, if you could go off at like before 8:30 and get 9 to 15 holes in before like the wind picks up, that's going to be a serious advantage over the guys who get wind like their whole round.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I think I'm going to go like heavy morning and then mix in like Hubbard and maybe another afternoon guy. I like, but I do think it is a big thing this week. Adam Scott, you bet him.
So Adam Scott's a guy I bet all the time, and he never wins. He's not at all a big dick winner. Like, he at least has the major history, and he's won a couple of big events, like winning Jenny was kind of big. But I've been, you know this as much as anyone because we talk about it all the time. I don't bet the guys in the model that it just says like bet this guy because he's doing great in the model. Jaeger is an example at Torrey. Like, I should have. Wendy's an example. Like, all the times Wendy's won, he's been really high in the model. It's just like, suck, just bet the guy. Don't overthink it. That's my Adam Scott. He's number two in the model this week. He's been driving it great. His short game's sick. He putts well. Like, he's won big events. Like, it's been a while, but he has done it before. So give me Adam Scott, but he's not going to win. But I just
like perfect T6 going into Sunday off a low round and like have no chance to win.
Yeah, there'll be a moment where like he makes a long eagle putt or something, but there's just going to be too many of those. Like, his putting stats are great now, but he still just too many times is standing over like a 4-footer and he has the flag in there and it looks so awkward with the long putter and he misses it and that's why he ends up losing. So won't win, but I've got to just blindly go with the model on this one.
Yeah, love it. I don't hate Adam Scott. I do think he can play well. Siwoo can pop here. I think Siwoo, he's kind of been all over the place, but you know, he's a big time winner. He's one of players. He, you know, huge TPC guy, wins once a year, 50-1. I don't think that's a bad bet.
No, I like Siwoo. He's in consideration for the card, depending on what I do. My thing with him was, I was like, it's the last spot on the card, so I'm looking at like tiebreaker situations, and he's going off like right in the heart of the wind on Thursday, and Siwoo, when the conditions like turn against him or he gets a bad draw, could get really fucking pissed. So that's part of the reason why if Siwoo had a good draw, lock for me, but not a lock because I'm afraid he's gonna get pissed because of the weather.
One guy you can't sell me on is Lowry. Why did you bet Shane Lowry?
His stats are pretty good. He's been like, he drives it really nice. Like, he's a really good driver. He's driven it really nice here historically, like in good drive percentage all time at Waste. He's like top five. Like, he just stripes it off the tee here for whatever reason. Wins big events. Like, that's all he does is win big events. Like, you don't want Shane Lowry when it's 20-1 at Honda or something like that, because he's never going to win. But every now and then Shane just wins a big event. This field sucks. Like, dude, he's played well here once. Like, I think he was T6 like back in the day. So that's why I was like 70-1 on Shane Lowry. He played T25 at Farmers. Like, he played well in the winter on the DP. Yeah, like, he's Albatross. He holed out at Amex. Like, he's been making shots from the fairway. So sign me up for Shane Lowry purely because he can win big events.
Ricky is a good number. I don't really understand why he's 60-1.
Well, he was 175-1 last week. Like,
and I was like, I wouldn't bet your money on that.
Yeah, it was like, oh, last week at 175, I'm out. But 50 this week, yeah, maybe.
He'll mix. Can't win, mix. Ricky needs a lot of reps to win. Isn't it crazy he won this event in 2019?
I remember, it's weird. That was like, I mean, I've always been into golf, but that was before I was like really into golf. But I remember watching that event, and I remember thinking the whole time, like, Ricky is going to blow it. He has no chance to win.
He should have. Brandon was, Grace or something.
Was JT? Was that the year JT? I swear JT was in the mix that year.
I think he was. But Brandon Grace had a crazy round Sunday, and he almost caught Rick.
Brandon Grace is low key like a generational mixer and like ball striker. Like, he's had a lot of like
62 in an open.
Yeah, like Chambers Bay. I always remember that because like I worked at Chambers Bay. So like he was right there, but he shipped, or like going down the stretch, he was right there, but he like shipped it OB.
So this is a true test of if you're a Lake fan or not. Can you tell me which team Brandon Grace is on?
Oh, Stingers. The South Africa, is that what they're, the Stingers? This,
I think
that's South, like whatever the South with Louis and what's it with Berm. I know them because Burmy was in the mix.
Stinger GC.
Yeah, because Burmy was in the mix.
A team that likes to have fun while playing as hard as they can.
Yep. Shout out Louis, by the way. Two wins. On Liv? Could he win? No, I don't think he can win Liv. Like, he could only win.
Liv is stepping up, man. If Louis can't win on there, like.
Well, he dropped down to DP and played like the weakest DP fields you've ever seen and won twice in a row. But I think that's where, like, he looked so content after he won the second time because he was playing, he designed the course and he just looked like, I'm good. Like, this is, I'm living the dream right now. So I don't think
We're not betting Louis on Liv this year.
We're out. Okay. Not unless I see something different. Like right now I'm out on Louis because the price got, because he won, his price has like dropped a ton. Like, yeah, if he was like 80-1, then sure.
Nuke every week. Yeah, like, plus sure. EV, we'll give you a sweat. I like Akshay. I like Akshay because Akshay is a ball striking bastard, and you need to do that here. If he's going off in the morning, I like him first round leader. Maybe I kind of want to bet some, you kind of sold me on Fitz, but I also could just bet a bunch of guys like 75 plus and just hope one of them gives me a mix. Bots is Thiegs 2 years ago here, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are both Indian, so that's one thing that they've got going. But ball striking wise, yeah, very similar style players. Both just chill dudes. Like, seem like they're like vibey. Like, Akshay is not going to be rattled by the vibes. Like, he is going to be down for the vibes, 1,000%. The question for Akshay that Jer's and I talked about, and this is the crucial question with Akshay, because other than this, I think I'm down. He only fucks next to the ocean or a body of water, because even Barracuda, that's Lake Tahoe, he's got like water vibes in his mind. This is the desert, so that's my concern with Akshay.
It's not a resort either.
No. So there's like, those are some, I think he plays well. I expect him to play well. I think this is a breakout year for Akshay. Like, I think he's going to be a top 30, 40 player.
Bet him at the US Open.
Yeah, like he's gonna like he has the potential to mix, I think, in like some big. Like,
I agree. He's a great ball striker,
and he's so young. He's been known for so long because he turned pro at like 18 or something like that. Like he's still really young. He's clearly
under 3.5. Is the correct over under for his win total 3.5 or 4.5
on the PGA Tour?
Yeah,
in his career.
Yeah,
if he like takes golf seriously, that's the another like I genuinely like I think like he did that interview with Rap where he like didn't seem like he cared about golf at all, and his results like kind of show that. Like sometimes he's focused and he does a ton of good results in a row, and then he'll just miss like infinity cuts. But if he takes golf seriously, he could be he could win 10 times. Like I think he's genuinely a sick golfer, and he fixed the putter.
Love it. Guy I've been riding, he's good at golf. Been popping, seeing something in the numbers with this guy. Griot has been fucking, man. Approach has been good. Putter's been good. You know, talented golfer. PGA Tour sucks. I could see him kind of in the winners that we've had this year. Emiliano Griot. 80-1. First round leader. Top 20. Griot mixing this week. Love Griot.
Yeah, we Jersey and I talked up Griot last week, and he played solidly. Like he mixed there for a while. My only thing with Griot, because I went on a stretch, I think this was 2 years ago, where I just was betting him like every week. Yeah. So I got to know his game like pretty closely from tracking him. When you really need short game, like around the greens, like he remember at Sanderson that one time when he made like a 10. Like he. I just don't trust him around the greens. I think he'll play well. His ball striking's sick. He'll pop for sure. Like there's gonna be a round where Griot shoots like 62 or something. But okay. I also don't classify him in the big dick possibility category.
You just can't. Your first bet this week, your guy, he's currently at a low price on he's not actually. Your guy this week, Kitayama.
Kurt, I was just looking at what his odds are right now.
Because last time, when you came on for Jimmy, right. You bet Kurt, and then he won like 3 weeks later.
He won his very next start, I think, after, because it was Genesis and then he finished. So I got him at 130. He's been steamed down to like 60s on some books. Like,
this is at 80, but yeah.
Yeah, like this isn't rocket science. Like, he led the field tee to green at Pebble last week. He's been great tee to green for like a long time. He's made every cut since the Scottish, and he's lost strokes putting in every event. Like that's how good his tee to green game has been. And he's been losing a lot of strokes putting, but he putted well here last year. And this is a course where like bad putters pop. And the thing about Kurt is you just have to bet Kurt a lot because like you just have to wait until he pops with the putter. Cause the tee to green game can get really consistently good. And my other thread here, Scotty Bayhill. Kurt Bayhill, Scotty Waste, Kurt Waste. So like that's
I've done that.
Yeah.
Like last week with Tommy, I was like Nick Taylor, Pebble. Like, no, I like it. I again, can he win? Maybe.
He won't like, win big, too big. Bayhill. If you win Bayhill, you can win Waste, in my opinion.
I mean, Hatton and like Francesco Molinari and fucking Matt Avery have won there.
Francesco Molinari is a major champion. Don't take
no,
that.
That's fair. No, I know the ball striking's been really good.
But yeah, at 80, I wouldn't be as excited. It was I went into the week. I had seen that he led the field tee to green at Pebble, and I was like, has he ever putted well here? Look, he did putt well here, and I was like, all right, sign me up for Kurt. But at 80, not as excited about it.
Noren, first round leader. Love it. Love Noren, first round leader. He was first round leader recently, which I don't love as much, but it was a 3-course rotation and it wasn't solo. He's going out in the morning. Noren fucks in the desert, man. He fucks in the desert. He's been popping.
I love that play. He's on the desert all-star team with Posty and Hadwin and Tom Kim. What I was laughing about is I don't bet first round leader. You know that. I famously have only bet it one time, Louis Oosthuizen at, I don't remember where it was, but I bet Louis first round leader. It wasn't even a major, and he didn't even come close to being first round leader. Okay. But your thought process that goes into the first round leader, like I really like thinking, like it's a true thing. You can't be first round leader a whole bunch of times in a row.
But sometimes you can,
but sometimes you can't. And so, but like you think through it in a very like sound way. So I always like if I was going to tail somebody for first round leader, it'd be you because I know you approach it from the right way. And
the process has been good in the first round leader. Like we've kind of been there, and now that we're back to just one course. I really feel freed up in my first round leader capping process. This wind is kind of throwing me off. If there was no wind midday, guaranteed first round leader. But once you start throwing fucking elements in, it makes it a bit tougher.
By the way, Jerz said that Akshay is going out early AF, so lock him in.
I'm in. Akshay, first round leader, I'm in.
I'm going to tail that too, because like I couldn't sit here and be a part of this conversation and miss out on the first round leader, knowing that he goes out early.
Griot, Shea, Norin, have to see the other ones. Those are on the first round leader card. I love Mark Hubbard this week. Can he win? No. Will he win? No.
0% chance. So
will he finish T7? Yes. Absolutely. Love Mark Hubbard this week. The approach numbers have been fire. Led the field in approach at Torrey, and then it was like kind of a semi-popular long shot at
Pebble. Played good. He played great. Anytime a long shot popular guy actually plays well, you tip your cap to that because it never happens. I like Hubbard to hit a hole in one.
I like Hubbard to hit.
Oh, this guy hits holes in one. Like I can think of multiple thoughts of things watching on TV where they're like, and let's cut to Hubbard and it's a hole in one. Makes hole in one.
100-1 on DraftKings.
I think I got a 125 on a hole in one.
Squad ride. This is
Hubbard hole in one.
I am betting $50 on this. I love it.
He hits holes in one.
Love it. I like.
And on Jerz and I, we went to, so I downloaded from 150 to 175 proximity, like who hits it closest from there, filtered the list like L36. The guy at the top of the list, Sam Ryder, who's hit a hole in one on 16. Number two was Xander's not playing, and then was Hubbard. Number three, he's hitting a hole in one.
This is a
generational
wealth opportunity.
If this hits, it's the greatest fit clap of all time. A hole in one prop would be the greatest.
But I love it though.
It could hit.
Like he is Carlos Ortiz, Sam Ryder.
Yeah. He stripes his irons are the best in the field. He has no chance of winning, but he could do something sick. And I could I don't know how many holes in one he has on the PGA Tour, but I know for a fact that he hit one, I think, at Quail last year. I'm almost positive that he did. On that downhill, there's that downhill par three.
I mean, we're boys. I hate kind of intertwining betting and my boys on Twitter, but I would ask him how many career hole-in-ones you have.
He's got a lot.
But actually, I don't want to get it in his head.
No, don't. No, he would, knowing him, he would think about that on the tee. You would pop into his head. He would not get the hole-in-one. So if Hubbard's watching, clear this from your mind, but we need the hole-in-one this week. 125-1, I think, on Bet365. Get that in because you do
know. No, that is a squad round. I am betting $50 on it. That's legit.
This would be they better have on the ESPN Plus where they have all the par threes. You know how they usually have all four par threes for at least part of the day on the stream? I need to be able to watch him hit every single time on the par threes this week because my heart's going to be in my throat the whole time.
Ekrod first round leader. Ekrod hole. I'm down for a hole in one card.
Yeah. I mean, you get do like three guys at 125-1, like
more. More to be honest, I'm down. Any other super long shot guys you like?
I don't love this. I actually really like Ekrot. There was a moment where I was thinking about betting Ekrot. He has 0% chance of winning. He great ball striker, fucks with the putter.
Matty Nee
won the U.S. Open. Matty Nee to me is a desert golfer, but only at Shriners. I think I'm good.
Unlike
Tom Kim. I do like Luke List at 125-1. Generational.
I like Bob Shelton.
Robbie?
Bob Shelton can make.
I saw him last week or 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't thought of that in a while. But Luke List bombs it off the tee, can sometimes pop with the putter on Bermuda like he did at Sandy. Farmers is kind of a big dick event, but not really. But could Luke List win? I think so. So he's on the card. But outside of that, let's go down to the bottom of the board. Carl Yuan, there's a random name for you. I think Carl pops for a round this week, maybe first round leader.
SH Kim also like.
Yeah, SH Kim, desert golfer.
Might be a hole in one.
Hits it far. Bobby, what's the read on Bobby Mack this week? Because Bobby Mack is a big game player.
Well, I have the take, but I want you to kind of get it out of me. Why should Bobby Mack play well here?
Is it your 12th man on the Ryder Cup take?
Yep.
When you texted that, I sat there for like 2 minutes. I was like, what is he talking about? And then it hit. But yeah, give the people your 12th man on the Ryder Cup take and why Bobby Mack. It could
be Scottie Scheffler was the 12th man on the 2021 Ryder Cup. He balled out, played really well.
Won a singles match
next year. Bobby Mack was the 12th man on the Euro winning side Ryder Cup. And he's just going to go out and play well. So strictly for that, I like it.
200-1, Bobby Mack. Why not? Why not?
DP this week. Why is Pablo so heavily tipped?
So if we take a step back, we've been texting for a few weeks now, and I have declared that Pablo will guarantee the most confident I've ever been in any bet in my entire life. He wins before the end of May. I don't know which event it's going to be, but I'm betting him every single week because Pablo wins 2 times every year on the DP. He is the best closer on the DP by far. He just wins, and he's going to win. If you watch the DP, you just know it. And so what happened this week, I think, is he played fine last week. He was like T23 or something like that. He's played really good at this course before. He's still like 50-1. So people are down because anyone who watches the DP knows that Pablo is going to win. No one ever hits Pablo. He's so mercurial. Like, you just don't know when he's going to win, but you know he will. So that's why I think he has no chance this week, because there's no way Pablo community win happens, but he's going to win at some point soon. You got to just bet him every week. And so for that reason, I'm still down.
How is the, what is the course? Like, who's won here? Like, what's a quick thing?
Sammy Valimaki won it last year. Spike putter, like, hits it far. Ewan Ferguson won the year before, but it was super windy the year before. So I'd like, that's a throwaway. But I like guys who can just make putts and kind of bomb it at this course. Like, all the greens, it's a really dumb course. All the greens.
Did you bet a Højgaard?
Yeah, so I went top of the board to Rasmus, because Rasmus is...
He wins.
He's not just a good putter on the DP. He's like one of the best putters in the world. Like, this guy is an unbelievable putter. He's been spiking like every week. He's finished top 15 like 7 events in a row on the DP. This is a perfect course for him. He bombs it from... he's so much better at golf than everybody else in the field that at 11-1, I was like, I'll be down. Especially in a course where spike putting is so important. He's like Cam Smith with a putter. Like, this dude makes putts. So that's why I'm down. So Pablo, Rasmus, and then Aaron Cockerell, random guy, but he's been balling out,
obviously.
And then some guy named Sam Bairstow. I know nothing about this guy, but he was a good amateur and he looked good. But yeah, Rasmus top of the board. I really like it, actually.
And do you have, I know you said you haven't done live research yet.
So I looked at the course briefly.
Starts on Thursday. FYI.
I did not know that. So I'm glad to.
Thursday to Saturday.
That makes sense. I was wondering if why they would play against the. That actually changes my handicap, because I was like, is the Super Bowl going to be going on at the same time? Will these guys be, you know, focused on the golf? It sounds like they will be if it's Thursday through Saturday. I looked at the course briefly on Sunday after Neiman hit, because I was like hyped about Liv. I was like, I'm going back to back on Liv, you know, for sure with an outright. So I was instantly like interested. It looks just like your classic country club course. That's short and like there's nothing really special about it. So if you can just bomb it down the middle, you're gonna have like wedges in on basically every single hole. So I don't have a stats play yet, but my truly believe the vibe is crucial here. That like the vibe at Mayakoba was most of these guys haven't golfed in forever. Neiman's been golfing and fucking, so like Neiman is the guy to play. I think this week it's vibes. Who actually wants to win this event, and who's there in Vegas to party on Super Bowl weekend? So who, like, that's the, let me list off some names real quick and you tell me focused on winning the event or there to party in Vegas. Sorry, we'll go from the top of the board. Rom,
he'll win soon.
Neiman, he's there to, like, Neiman's partying after winning. Hatton,
he's a loser.
Yeah, there to party. I think Bryson could win. Because Bryson was one, didn't Bryson win Shriners? He lived in Vegas or something.
I like Bryson this week.
He'll take it seriously. Brooks, we were just having a debate in the chat. Brooks will not be taking it seriously, in my opinion. Like, Brooks, no. Brooks will be there to party. DJ is there
not
to party.
Not close enough to majors.
No. And by the way, I texted this. Brooks irons absolutely dialed. He is winning the Masters. I am saying it right now. Clip it, record it. He's on the card at Augusta.
Are you gonna bet him now?
That's the thing. I might put a little bit now, just because like it's hard to know. Like, if he started to play bad on LIV for a while, it would probably go up a little bit. But I think people, he's like 18 to 1 or so at Augusta. And I think Brooks wins a major this year, and I think it's the Masters. Like, I'm calling my shot right here that Brooks wins the Masters this year.
Okay. All right.
So.
Yeah, no, I might just be in on Bryson. I've been impressed with his YouTube golf. How did he play last week?
Not very good at all. Really? But Mayakoba is not a good course for Bryson.
But I don't know what fucking Las Vegas Country Club is.
Want to know who I think it's a good course? Actually, so another reason I liked Neiman last week was lowest price on Bookmaker. So here's the guys who Bookmaker likes. They like Hatton, which I don't like. Hatton could win on Lit. Hatton played pretty good last week. Bryson, they like Bryson more. He's 18 to 1 on Bet365. They don't like DJ. They like Brooks a little bit. But, they like Maronk. Maronk could play well.
Maronk yeah, was... I mean, me and RK bet fucking Matt Jones last week because he was big on Bookmaker, and that didn't work out too much. But, yeah, maybe that guy that gave me the tip on Pat Perez.
That was honestly one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Could hit me up. They like Ortiz. They like Ortiz.
He was awful last week.
Like, he was nuked on Bookmaker. Like, are you looking to hit Mito on LIV?
So I considered Mito last week because he Neiman and Mito are kind of the same player, except Neiman's playing better right now. Mito, I don't think Mito can win on. There's certain guys, like you were saying how LIV used to be a bunch of random guys winning, and it was at the beginning of last year. But it's been more big names winning like pretty consistently over at least the last like half dozen plus events. And now you got Rahm in there. Like, I think the guys want to beat Rahm. I think like they kind of bring out the like, yeah, I want to beat Rahm. So I think the days of the complete losers winning on LIV, like it can still happen. But I think guys at the top of the board are kind of what you got to do on.
Range goes 80 to 1 to win the team.
We were talking, I doubt you can do it, but the ability to parlay, it wouldn't have hit last week though, because Legion 13 came storming home down the stretch to beat Torque. So
let me see if I can. No, I think you can.
So you can parlay a player to win the tournament and their team to win? Because that's.
I think I'm looking on Bookmaker right now.
Because hold on.
Wait, let's see if I could do it. 27 cents. Minimum. I think you can.
Because like
on Bookmaker.
Hold on. I'm just looking at something real quick. Because I swear the team went. Like, I'm going to see how often the player who won the event was also on the team that won. So Brooks wasn't. Bryson's team's Crushers, right? That's his team. But he won one. Cam Smith. So 2 out of 3. No. Gooch was on the Aces last year, right? Or was he on?
You can parlay it on Bookmaker.
It happened in like half the events last year, so I feel like if you got to
right? Parlay Bryson and the Crushers.
Yeah, do Bryson by himself, and then also do Bryson and the Crushers.
I'm in. I think you could do it on DM. So I'm gonna check that out. And
it's had to have happened in like 40% of the live events. So like it's
and
it's
a swear to get better numbers on people.
Yeah, that's a absolute, like, still do some by itself because it doesn't always hit, but like absolute, if you're betting LIV,
we found an infinite money glitch.
we found a cheat code for LIV. Get on that.
We will, great pod. We covered all the tours. You know, there's nothing that we can't. We got to talk some LPGA, but we covered it all. Next week, I'll be at RIV, boots on G. We're pulling up. Mike, I'm definitely going Saturday. Mike, Thursday. I don't really know what to expect. But,
I've been to Jenny. I've been to the event. I would say.
And how was it viewing, like walking around?
It's pretty good. So I was there the year that Tiger, he had come back from like something. He had been out for like a long time. The crowds around Tiger, you could not see him swing the club. Like it was legit.
He's playing.
Right. So like Tiger, you probably won't be able to even like see him like swing.
But that would be great for all the other groups.
It should be. Yeah, for sure. So I would say go Thursday if you're like considering it, because it's there'll be less crowd. Like go in the morning. Like if you go early Thursday, you can just watch all these guys like right up close. But sick course. pretty good for watching. Kind of a long walk, but a flat walk. But yeah, that'll be fun.
Boots on G. I'm going to go Thursday. I'm going to go early.
Yeah, I would.
Follow some guys, first round leader. I've never seen Tiger in person. I'm not going to follow him. Just maybe get one glance. But might do it on Monday. Not sure with the schedule. Don't have a guest. Don't have a guest from Mexico. So we got to start picking things up. But Adrian Ohtake 100-1 on DP.
That's he's been playing. Something happened to Ohtake. Like he's gone like off the deep end. He's fucked.
Okay, I'm betting all three tours this week. I'm in. But greatly appreciate your time, and we'll see everyone next week. And I hope we hit some winners this week.
Talk to you later.